welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now for the same show, the exact same show. Why change things when they can change themselves? Just like us, we're self-changing babies. Another beautiful day at sea.
That it is, Captain.
The ocean is such a vast and wondrous... What is that smell?
What smell, Captain?
Something's burning.
Burning?
I smell smoke.
Ah, probably from the bonfire.
What?
The bonfire. The men lit a bonfire to celebrate the nice cool day and are roasting some breadfruit.
A bonfire? Where?
On deck, sir.
You lit a fire on a wooden ship?
Yes, sir. It's a beauty, too.
You idiots! It'll burn us all!
Ha ha! No worries, Captain. We are surrounded by water.
But you're burning the ship!
Hmm.
The only thing that stands between us and the sea! What happens when the ship is consumed with flames?
We jump into the sea. Fire's no match for the water in the ocean.
Then we'll be without a ship.
Hmm.
We'll drown.
Ah, I see what you're getting at. So even though the water wins against the fire, ultimately we lose.
Put the fire out now.
And how should we go about doing that, sir?
With water. We're surrounded by it, as you correctly pointed out.
And how do we get it into the ship, sir? We don't have any hoses or pumps.
Just tie the ropes to this barrel and put it over the side and use it to scoop up water with. Hey, hold on just a minute.
Hey, look at this. A rich lady, a certain Madame de... lost her super expensive diamond earrings at the opera this weekend, and the police think they were stolen.
How about that? They weren't stolen.
What do you mean, Butchie?
She sold them to pay off her debts, but then couldn't bear to tell her husband, who had given them to her when they were married, so she lied and said she lost them at the opera. That's a pretty wild accusation.
Yeah, how do you know?
It's a movie.
Huh.
It's a 50s movie. The Earrings of Madame de...
Woof, 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 woof.
Be quiet, Spiny.
How do you know it's the same situation?
Because every aspect of human behavior and every possible event has already been chronicled in cinema. Movies have been around long enough now that everything that people can possibly do or have done has been dramatized and recorded. We're just playing out the same scenarios over and over again.
So everything is a movie.
Or a play. Stuck. Stuck here, aren't I? Like a firefly in a jar, contained for your amusement. No worse, stuck like a butterfly to a board, a giant pin through my heart. Isn't he beautiful? You couldn't appreciate the intricacy of the patterns on his wings until he was stuck like this, and still. Still here, am I? I'm ready to go, but can't, even though there's no reason to stay. I'll look the same gone as not gone. Joe! Joe!
Ooh, ooh, what is it?
I'm ready for bed.
But you just got up.
So?
So, I'm busy is all.
Busy doing what?
I don't know. Something might come up.
Like what?
Something exciting, you never know. The more things stay the same, the greater the chance something surprising will happen. Like... when you have months without a major weather event, and then, boom, hail.
All hail the boom.
Anyway, you just stay right there. I'm sure something exciting will happen.
Oh, yes. Nothing predictable about my situation. God knows the Queen may visit for tea.
Ooh, I hope not. We're out of tea.
What do we have?
No tea, that's for sure.
What else don't we have?
In that department, we are truly blessed with abundance. I can't think of a single thing we don't not have.
We literally live in a world of endless possibilities, a world created by imagination, which in theory should be limitless. And yet, we have almost nothing, and all our days are the same.
I see you're admiring my globe.
It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Right?
The ice. The water, it's moving.
Oh, yes, it's fairly accurate.
The clouds are swirling.
They do that.
What are those little flashes of light?
Oh, those are wars. If you look carefully, you can see them. Concentrate on that one.
I see a fire. Now I can see a village burning and people running. Someone running out of a house.
It's so much easier to keep an eye on things that way than actually going there. Look at this fellow screaming here. Anyway, let's get back to the party, shall we?
The darndest thing just happened. I was trying to come up with ideas for the show, and time was really closing in on me. I mean, one minute you have days to think, and then you're down to just one day, and the ideas aren't coming, or you are nowhere near finished, and as the pressure builds, it's hard to think. But then, and I know this is hard to believe, but time stopped. Everything around me froze. I was in the middle of pouring coffee, and the coffee just, I don't know, just stopped like a coffee icicle. It hung from the pot, and Lou was still like a statue. Butchie's mouth was open, but nothing was coming out. A cup in his hand, but his hand stayed where it was between the table and his face. Time had stopped. I don't want to assume anything, but I'd say this means I now have an infinite amount of time to come up with a show, or rather, time is no longer a factor. It can take as long as I want. But the thing is, I still have nothing. I mean, I think of things, but they seem unoriginal, or something I've already done, or more likely something someone else has already done. It's like I'm claiming to redecorate a house, but all I really do is move the couch around or switch paintings with paintings from another room. I'm not sure this is a terrible thing. Mathematicians all use the same numbers, they just rearrange them. Artists use the same colors, more or less. I'll just explain to everyone this week why I have nothing to say. I mean, I can't always. Maybe the news should occasionally do that. Say, I'm not going to lie, nothing really happened. But that would also be a lie, because something always happens. Except for right now.
Butchie. Butchie Spinoza.
Hey, guy I don't know.
Glad you could make it back again this year.
Yeah, never been here, of course, but go on.
We were thinking of recreating our little card game from last year. I want a chance to win back my money.
I'd be happy to take your money again.
Also, I wouldn't mind a game of piquet with just us two.
Piquet? Do you know the Balzac short story, The Purse, La Bourse?
I can't say that I do.
Why? Someone threatening you?
No, I mean, I don't know it. Perhaps the Baroness does.
Baroness?
Our mutual friend.
I know a baroness?
You're very funny, my friend.
In what way was that funny?
So, I hope to see you in the card room after dinner this evening.
Okay, guy, I still don't know.
Till then, my friend.
I'm pretty sure I have never been to this hotel, and yet everyone recognizes me.
Once upon a time, in a faraway kingdom, a young prince was walking through the woods when he happened upon a toad with a dart sticking out of his back.
Hey, that doesn't look good.
I was not always a toad, said the toad. I was once a powerful wizard, but a young foolish child hit me with a dart while I was transformed into a toad, and now I'm stuck.
The toad explained that if the prince would remove the dart, he could be a wizard again and grant the prince any wish he liked.
I can totally do that.
And so the prince knelt down and carefully removed the dart from the toad's back.
There, you feel better?
At once the toad transformed back into a wizard.
Yeah, much better. Here's the deal.
Do I get my wish?
Of course. I always keep my promises. But it turns out you were the kid who stuck me with a dart in the first place. So after I grant your wish, I'm going to turn you into a toad.
Oh, no. Well, then I wish I had never stuck you with a dart when I was a kid.
And with that, the wizard turned back into a toad and hopped away.
It's midnight in the city. The room stinks of stale cigarette smoke and air freshener that I sprayed to get rid of the stale cigarette smoke smell. I'm a detective, see? And a damned good one. But I'm about to save you a lot of time and energy by telling you that it turns out that the person I have been hired to follow by a mysterious faceless client is me. And the faceless client is also me. I have been hired by myself to find myself. The end.
This is exciting. I've never seen a no play before. All right. Wow. Who is that? Is that a woman? Yes. That mask is creepy. She moves so slowly. I bet she's a ghost. A lot of times, women you see at wells in the wilderness dressed up as their dead husbands are ghosts with unresolved trauma. Lou, please. Sorry. She looks so sad. Hey, there's Totsky's mom, Mrs. Shiga. Psst, Mrs. Shiga.
Lou, stop.
She doesn't see me.
She's being polite.
Maybe she's a ghost with some unresolved theater-related issue. I saw a woman down by the stream at Shaker Village, and she turned out to be a ghost who lost her life in that very stream. Couldn't come to terms with it.
Psh, Mrs. Shiga.
Lou, you gotta be quiet.
Maybe she doesn't see me because I'm the ghost. Hari, maybe I'm a ghost. I wonder what it is I can't accept.
Now that we are all here, we can commence the reading of the will.
Go.
I, Hale White, being of sound mind, do hereby bequeath the following. To my brother Hardy, I leave my mansion, hereafter referred to by its name, White Castle.
White Castle.
Shh. We had a beach house that we called Whataburger because it was orange and white.
White Castle. And all of its contents on the following conditions.
I knew it.
That my brother and his friends, Baruch Spinoza and Louis Register, can spend one night on the premises, which will not be easy because the castle is haunted.
Oh, man.
It's not really haunted, you see. I'll be faking my death and then tormenting those idiots for a whole night. Ha, ha, ha. You're not still writing all this down, are you? Signed, Hale White.
Okay.
So, no castle?
Do you expect me to eat all of this?
No, Mr. White. I expect you to die.
I beg your pardon?
I said I expect you to try to eat it, right?
It's a lot of food, though.
It is a lot of food, isn't it?
Well, I've escaped. I've successfully run away from my life, gone AWOL, disappeared and made it back here where it all started, to my childhood home, and specifically to this old fishing hole, and what's left of it. I know this is the place because the old Woodward house is still here, the ruins at least, the foundation. I recognize the outline, and I know that where that dead tree is where Mrs. Woodward had her clothesline. I guess they're all gone, and I suppose I'm trespassing. But this is the spot where I caught that giant fish. I couldn't even tell you what kind it was because I didn't know my fish then, so I'm just going to tell you what I thought at the time, that I'd caught a whale or a fish of biblical proportions, a monster from the depths. But this pond is hardly the depths of anything. It's
barely a pond. It's more like a puddle or a swamp, and so overgrown I can't even get to the edge of it without getting scratched and poked by years of unfriendly, untamed bushes and thorns. There's thorns all over my memories, so I can't get to them. But clearly, this is not the same place. I haven't come full circle. I've hopped on a spiral. And though it's the same place on the circle, it's miles away from where I was. I'm an old man, not a child. Walking in my own footsteps won't make me a child again. I'd rather I'd not come back here at all, since now I've painted over the original painting and I'm stuck with this image, a dark, uninviting landscape, a gray-toned version of the vibrant colors that radiate in my mind. Now I have to explain where I've been. But I don't know where I've been anymore, and I don't know where I'm going, and yet that does not count as lost somehow. Everyone would agree that I'm right on track. I retraced my steps to see if I'd dropped anything, lost anything, and it turns out I hadn't until I'd done this. Goodbye, fishing hole.
Jump jive, everyone.
Jump jive.
Today is a very special day and my favorite on the liturgical calendar. It's Holy Slideshow. Why do we perform this ritual of the Carousel of Memories, you may ask? Well, first of all, to acknowledge that memories are much like slides. Information, light, a slice of time reduced to a tiny card that when we shine light through it again, seen through the lens of our mind's eye, it comes alive, but not fully alive. It simply serves as a dimensionally diminished template that we may reconstruct the impressions of bygone times upon, see lost friends again, and revisit our former selves. Okay, the first slide is the old fellowship hall before they tore the wall out. So it still has the youth group mural of that scene from Rules of the Game right before they go on the rabbit hunt. This is a picture of Interfaith Potluck Day. So you can see Rabbi Kugel from Beth Latke and Reverend Bland from Third Presbyterian. Also my grandfather, Colonel Spinoza, and his mistress Lonnie. This is the Walter Day fest tent that the Pep Circle constructed with help from the 5th and 6th graders. You can see the old hot water fountain in the background. Oh, this is the senior class religious trip to Pittsburgh, except this isn't Pittsburgh because we went to Haddonfield, New Jersey that year because we got a better rate. This is Mrs. Yankel next to her 69 Mustang. This is the bathroom floor. I think we got a new tile floor, so that's why that's in there. This is the lay class learning to perform the coloring rites in case our clergy is ever incarcerated. Oh, this is us diving for conch shells in Exuma. This is us swimming with pigs in Exuma. Oh, this is just my vacation from a couple of years ago. I was too lazy to pull them out. Here is the Howard Johnsons that used to be next door. Here they are tearing it down. Here they are building the Radio Shack that replaced it. Here they are tearing it down. Here's the cellular phone place that's there now. No, wait, no, that's Macho Taco. It was there for like a month. Then here's the cellular phone place. Here's me and my friends. And finally we come full circle to the old fellowship hall. Lights. Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive.
Well, I mean, the difference between a dream and reality is a dream, you're only shaping your own reality, and whereas the reality is you're shaping everyone else's dreams. Well, I mean, the difference between a dream and reality is a dream, you're only shaping your own reality, and whereas the reality is you're shaping everyone else's dreams.
Why'd you shut it off?
It's a repeat.
No, it isn't. It always starts that way.
Then how will people tell if it's a different show if it's always the same?
I always end up saying the same thing every time I come here, Doc.
Well, there's a reason for that.
I guess it's because I don't have enough stories, and so I keep having to repeat them. I have a finite amount of memories.
Is it that, or something else?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's that. I remember reading that the Japanese writer Shiga wrote a lot of things based on his own experiences, but that the older he got, the fewer memories he had because he'd exhausted all his stories.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it's like I had this buddy that when I first met him, I thought he was like the most witty storyteller in the world. He had what I thought was an endless amount of funny anecdotes. It turns out, after knowing him a few years, it was finite. I started to hear the same stories, and while they were good, they were basically ones I had already heard. By that time, we were good friends, and our relationship had other things going for it besides superficial charm. But I did see the bottom of the bottomless pit.
Yes, you've mentioned that.
Have I?
This is the Emperor Hadrian, and you are listening to Hadrian's Wall, creating obstacles, erecting barriers, and dividing people for centuries. We just heard from Lou Register repeating the same stories he tells his therapist every single time he's there. And before that, we heard People Like Us and a cut called The Quote About Dreams Spoken While on Migraine Medicine with My Eyes Closed. And before that, just more of the same, literally the same thing over and over. But isn't that what we crave? Familiarity, memories, favorites. When you travel, aren't you always trying to get your bearings, remember where you are, looking for landmarks? Aren't landmarks just a form of nostalgia prompted by fear of being lost and out of control? No doubt. Our next cut is called Old Favorite by Hardy White and the Tunesmen.
I like singing old songs that may bring back a few memories to you people, and I think this particular number, it would be one of the real old good ones that you rarely hear in a club. And let's do this one. A few memories. 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 Let's do this one.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, Lou, you startled me. I was just doing a song.
Oh, well, don't let me stop you.
Well, you just did.
Okay, listen, I just read in the paper that this society lady lost her earrings at the opera.
I know.
How do you know? You read that too?
No, you told us at breakfast, remember? Then Butchie said that it was the plot of an old movie.
Oh, yeah. I forget what I tell people half the time. Did you ever see that movie, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Yeah, we saw it together.
Oh, man, I feel like an idiot.
Don't worry about it.
I do, though. I fear losing my memory. I know I repeat myself a lot.
We all do. There's just so much we can talk about. Every new thought is built on old ones.
It's like streets. Did you see when they were excavating downtown and they dug up the street? You could see all the old streets all the way back to the days when they were brick, each new street laid upon an old one.
Yeah, I remember. I was the one who pointed it out to you.
Right. Anyway, I understand your point. It's like that Ozu movie where they think it's about time a young lady should get married.
Yeah, which one?
Exactly. Yet, they're all different and distinct. In Kabuki theater, there are generations of actors who inherit the same name from their father or previous actors, and they play the same roles. But it's still a distinct person who brings their own subtle differences to the part.
That'd be funny if it happened to us.
What, like in the future, there's a guy named Butchie Ate?
Butchie Ate what? I didn't eat nothing.
No, we were talking about what if someone took your place after you were gone, like another Butchie?
I'd be fine with that. In fact, I'm sure there have been other Butchies.
I'm sure there's been other Hardys. But I don't mind taking my turn.
Do you think you'll be remembered or forgotten?
A little of both. First remembered by people who knew me.
Or by people who find your personal letters at an estate sale?
Whatever. And then, forgotten, as all people are eventually.
Except for the Emperor Hadrian.
This is the Emperor Hadrian, and this is Hadrian's Wall. Emperor, build that wall. That was a cut called, Hey, what are you doing? Oh, Lou, you startled me. I was just doing a song. Well, don't let me stop you. Well, you did. Okay, listen, I just read in the paper that this society lady lost her earrings at the opera. And it goes on like that.
with the title of the piece not merely recapitulating the content, but stating it all verbatim. All right, coming up next, more of the same.
Uncle Hardy, tell me a story.
All right, any particular type?
One that you've told me before.
Why would you want to hear a story you've already heard?
Is that so strange?
I guess not.
People want to hear songs they've already heard over and over again.
True.
They see favorite movies multiple times.
Some do.
They visit paintings at museums they've already seen.
Guilty.
And they like to hear stories over and over again.
True.
I'm glad you're not in charge of Passover. You'd be making up a new story every year, defeating the purpose.
Okay, I get your point now. What story do you want to hear?
I want to hear the one about the tree. There's a big tree, and under it is a small reflecting pond as smooth as a mirror. And this kid sees his reflection in it, but then he doesn't, and so he falls in and goes to another world.
That sounds familiar. Oh, do you mean Alice in Wonderland?
No, I know what that is.
Sorry, maybe Through the Looking Glass.
No, it's not super original, but it isn't Lewis Carroll. I know who Lewis Carroll is. You made this one up. It's about going to Florida through Georgia. And there's alligator people and a giant pig.
Man, I wish I remembered.
How do you not remember your own stories?
I'm not sure. I've told a lot of them. They don't always stick with me.
You pick up a guy at Stripling's, and he turns into a giant pig. I think you stole some of it from Journey to the West.
I like stealing Chinese folk tales.
Well, tell me about the Three Gretels.
Okay, the Three Gretels. Now I can do. Once upon a time, there were three little Gretels, and they went into the woods to see their witch friend. Now, their witch friend moved around a lot. She had a house that moved around. Yeah, I know it's like Baba Yaga. I stole that part too. So what? But it isn't on chicken feet or anything. It's just this house that is never in the same place twice. And so when they go into the woods, they have a hard time getting out. So they leave a trail, and each one leaves a different kind of trail. Now, the first two leave trails of crumbs and stones, and so it's very difficult for them to find their way out because the birds eat the crumbs, the stones look like other stones. Now, the third one leaves a trail of orange steel balls. Now, you'd think that that would be really easy, but one day she's going in to see the witch. The other two have since perished, they're lost in the woods. She's been getting out, this third Gretel, because of her orange ball strategy. But this time she goes in, and when she goes to leave, she sees that the witch has planted orange trees, and they are indistinguishable from her steel fluorescent orange balls, you see. And so there's oranges everywhere, and she ends up following the wrong trail. She thinks they're oranges, but she thinks they're steel balls, but they're actually oranges. So she follows this trail for a while, thinking it's hers. And it ends up being oranges. And when she gets to the end, she sees three of them lined up in a row. So she goes to the first orange and she opens it up to see if it's steel or whether it's an orange, and it's an actual orange. And when she does, a princess emerges. And the princess says, I'm dying of thirst. Give me water. I must have water. I shall die. And she looks around, but she can't find any water, so the princess dies. So she opens up another orange. And the same thing happens. The princess goes, I'm thirsty. What do you call that?
Dehydrated.
She's dehydrated. And I must have water. I shall die. And so she doesn't, survive. She dies too. So then the third Gretel thinks, I'm not going to open up any more oranges because, you know, I don't have any water. See, instead of going and getting water and bringing it back and open that third orange, she did nothing. And it turns out that third princess suffocated. Now, when this happened, something happened in the afterlife, in the other world. And the spirits found out that all three princesses had died. And so they put a curse on this Gretel. And they said, forever after, you are going to not be able to ever find your way out of the woods, but you also won't die. You're just going to be lost forever. And you're going to go around and you're going to see the same trees, but you're not going to recognize anything. You're just going to be forever disoriented. And the Gretel was like, I don't care. That sounds fine. I'll be fine. And so she did this for a while. And that's how the witch came to be. The witch was actually the third Gretel. That's why she was moving around all the time, because she was cursed. You see?
I don't know. That's tautological.
What do you mean?
I mean, what's the origin of the witch?
I just told you.
But how did the witch exist before the third Gretels came to see her?
Isn't that interesting? I don't know. They depend on one another. You know, what came first? The Gretel or the moving witch? We don't know. We just don't know.
All right.
Meals on Wheels.
Come in.
Hey, Meals on Wheels, Mr. Edwards. And don't worry, there's no creamed corn.
What?
I said there's no creamed corn.
I didn't order any creamed corn.
Yeah, I know. I was just making a joke.
What kind of joke?
It's from a TV show. Don't worry about it.
Why isn't there any creamed corn? Do they have that?
I think so.
Why didn't you bring any?
I didn't know you wanted any.
I didn't either until you mentioned it.
Well, maybe next time. Anyway, there's still good stuff here. Look, fried chicken.
Fried chicken? Where's my Salisbury steak?
I bring that all the time.
Because I like it.
Yeah, but you need variety, so I brought fried chicken.
But I want Salisbury steak.
You can't eat the same thing all the time. It's not good for you.
I'm 92.
Good point.
I don't want variety. I want Salisbury steak.
But you can't have the same Salisbury steak every day.
It isn't the same Salisbury steak. It's a different one each time. No two Salisbury steaks are alike. Heraclitus proved that.
Well, the chicken is equally good.
You are disrupting my stability.
Sorry. Blame Meals on Wheels. I'm just a messenger.
Dr. James Henry Salisbury invented the dish as health food.
Well, that's hard to believe.
I've been eating it all my life, and I'm fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, well...
Next time, I want Salisbury steak and creamed corn.
Okay, okay.
I'm just busting your chops, you mook. Chicken's fine.
Man, you got me good, Mr. Edwards. Jesus.
And no cream corn. It's Garmin Bozier.
Oh, man, you're a son of a gun, Mr. Edwards.
Old don't mean stupid. You got that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There is a very real possibility that I am living the same few years over and over again. I know it isn't the same day because I can remember a few different kinds of days I've had. And it isn't the same month because I know there was only one Christmas and only one Purim and only one International Three Stooges Day. But it could be that every 5 years or so, things reset. Now, I do recall being a child, so that throws a bit of a wrench in things. And I know my grandmother and my brother only died once. But I can't shake the feeling that there is a sameness to things. That at the very least, it's the same years with slight variations. Maybe only a handful of things are different, like my height or something. Maybe someone dies, but let's say sometimes it's family and sometimes it's someone else's family. It's the same Christmas every year in many ways. Sure, there's a different parade host on TV every so often, but they show the same movies more or less. Variations. Did you ever see a worksheet from first grade or something where a kid writes the letter B over and over again? It's the same letter B each time, but then again, no two B's are alike. I took a Chinese class one time, and my character for woe was like that. You could tell it was woe, but it was a bunch of different woes. And it's the same worksheet, whether it's a B or a woe. You repeat it over and over to get the essence correct. Never to perfect it. There's no perfect bee anyway. There's no perfect Christmas. There's no perfect Grandma Death Day. There's no perfect Lou. Just variations of Lou. The same Lou, different every day. The same every day.
Are we going after Flat Top Jr., Tracy?
What's the point, Sam?
What are you talking about?
I mean, we catch one of these criminals and another just pops up in their place. And what's the story with their screwed-up physiognomies?
What do you mean?
Their faces are all hideously distorted.
Yeah, that's weird.
And no face doesn't even have a face. How is that even physically possible?
Maybe. Their outward ugliness is a manifestation of their inner wickedness.
If that were true, Gravel Gertie and B.O. Plenty would be evil, and they aren't.
Well, they are annoying.
It's not the same thing. But I'll tell you what is the same. This formulaic recursion that is our comic strip life. The same thing done slightly differently year after year.
Oh, you're looking at it wrong, Tracy. Look at the differences. Look at the details and see beyond mere outlines. An oak tree just looks like another oak tree if you look without noticing. But if you take the time to really look, you see there are infinite details, variations, that make a seemingly routine thing unique.
Maybe you're right, Sam.
Flat Top Jr. is a killer. Let's take him off the streets.
Thanks for the pep talk, Sam.
Another beautiful day at sea, isn't it?
Yes, Captain, that it is.
Say, you're not the same crew member I usually address my comments to.
No, sir. He was busy today, so he asked me to fill in.
I see.
He had some bosuning to do.
All right. Well, I suppose that's fine. Anyway, the sea is such a vast place. And on a gray day like today, you wonder how we can tell where we are going.
Probably the compass. It lets us orient ourselves in the absence of stars or the sun. Also, an experienced navigator can read the wave patterns.
Is that a fact?
Pretty sure.
Oh. You do wonder how we stay afloat, though.
That has to do with the shape of the boat and the displacement of water.
Now listen. That is all well and good, but the other fellow, though vastly less informed, creates wonderful tension and comic relief with his shocking ignorance of all things nautical.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
So dumb it down a little, please.
Aye, aye, Captain.
These days at sea all seem to blend together, don't they, Seaman?
Yes, sir.
How many days has it been since we've been at the mercy of the seas?
One day, Captain.
One day? That can't be possible.
We left Sunday afternoon. Today is Monday.
But it feels like months. In fact, I know this to be the case because I had no beard when we left, but now I have a considerable growth.
I'm sorry. I was just kidding. I thought you wanted me to play dumb.
Well, that felt more like gaslighting, though. It's not playing dumb if you know better and you're just trying to play me for the fool.
Ah, I think I got it now.
Something more appropriate is to say, for instance, you're our sail expert, and I ask you a question about the sails, and you don't have even basic knowledge of how they work.
I am totally with you.
Good. So, what is it you actually do on the ship?
Oh, I'm an undercover Navy officer, and I'm the head of the counter-mutiny.
What now?
You know how you and your pirate crew staged the mutiny to take over the ship? Well, me and some naval officers boarded your ship incognito in Barbados, and we're retaking the ship. Your bosun is actually tied up below deck. Also, my buddy Butchie has been in the apple barrel right there the whole time.
Hey.
Oh, hello there. Now, I think this bit has gone a little far.
Oh, it's no bit. Sorry, I'm placing you under arrest.
Is this one of those charity thingies where you lock me up until my friends pledge a certain amount of money to a good cause?
Afraid not. Taking you back to Nantucket to be hanged.
Well, it's nice to change things up every now and again, I suppose.
Glad you're being cool about it.
Well, what are you going to do, am I right? Someday, son, all this will be yours. Yeah, well, can I sell it? Sell it? Why would you want to do that? This place has been in our family for generations. Yeah, well, it's kind of samey. Samey? Groves of trees, quaint cabins, streams, gardens. Are you crazy? Yeah, it's just that I don't want to get stuck here. I like new scenery.
New scenery?
I want to travel.
We're traveling right now.
I just mean,
I don't like looking at the same thing twice.
Things change all the time here. That rock there has more lichen on it than it did yesterday. And last month that tree didn't even have any fruit, and now it's laden.
Yeah, well,
it's laden.
I just need more stimulus, I guess.
The problem with you is you don't appreciate subtlety. Change the resolution on your mind's eye. You're out of focus.
This is not the way we usually go.
No, I know. I'm trying a new route.
Why?
I just thought it'd be nice to change it up.
But we had a good route for getting to Cordele.
If we are late, Aunt Lainey isn't gonna like that. She's old world about punctuality.
Well, the app said this way was faster.
Faster? Psh, not with these lights.
Look, we'll get there. Just enjoy the scenery.
No offense, but I usually just sleep the whole way. Not really in it for the scenery.
We're gonna be late and we're gonna get a lecture.
Look, all this complaining isn't helping.
It's not meant to help. It's meant to hector you into going the usual way.
Go the same way we always go.
And now the road is blocked.
What do you suppose is going on up there?
There's a huge line of cars.
Lots of flashing lights.
And a helicopter. That can't be good.
I bet part of the road disappeared into the earth. God routinely makes the ground swallow those who defy his blessed sameness.
I get the picture. Turn on the direction app, will you?
In a quarter mile, head west on State Road 52.
There, we'll be back on track in no time.
I never heard of State Road 52.
Turn left now.
There's no road there.
Turn left now.
It's a driveway.
Better do what she says.
But it's a driveway.
Head west, 12 miles on State Road 52 to Moving Witch Road.
This dead ends into someone's garage.
You better back up.
Turn around now.
We are never gonna get there. Just be quiet, you're making me nervous.
Turn right on Three Gretels Road, then head west for 8 miles.
Oh man, this is crazy.
I got an idea. Head back down that driveway.
But the garage is there.
Just do it.
Oh, this is nuts. You guys were right. It's stupid to change what works.
Hey, it's not there anymore.
The garage is gone.
Head 12 miles on State Road 52 to Moving Witch Road.
See?
What just happened?
Things change. The wrong solution one day might be the right one the next.
I remember Mr. Rogers used to have a song go like something like this. Things are the same, but they're still different. Your hands are the same, but they're still different. Every fingerprint is unique, but when you see a fingerprint, you know it's a fingerprint. Burp, burp. Hands are different, but they're the same. People are the same, but they're all so different. Faces are different, but they're the same, except for faces that are remarkably different in some odd way, like the face of a spider.
That might not be one of his. I don't know. I've seen a lot of children's shows since then, and I get them confused. But I believe that the underlying philosophy there is sound. Things are the same and different at the same time. It's the words that are the problem. As you know, when you encounter a lot of paradoxes, that it's not the problem of the universe. The universe isn't contradicting itself. Your language is imperfect. I've always said that about good and better and best. One thing may be best at one moment, and the same thing may be worse another moment, and it's really just your language. Oh, are we the same and different? All the shows that I do are basically the same, aren't they? They are 1 hour, give or take a few minutes, which I know throws off the board op. And then there's the fact that they all have the same theme song. You hear this theme song, you say, oh, I know that's Hardy's Show or Gilligan's Island. Now, Gilligan's Island changed theirs a little bit because it started out by saying all the rest. And then they say, well, that's only two more people. I mean, would it really hurt you to say the professor and Marianne? Because it hurts their feelings to say, and the rest, when it's just two people. Can you say, we've had a party, and you go, yeah, my friends were there. Lou was there, and Butchie was there, and I was there, and other people. And if the other people's just Don, Don's going to be, you know, feeling a little left out. Oh, the same things can be different. When I walk in the woods, and I do this
frequently, infrequently, frequently, infrequently. It's all relative. I don't know. I do it every so often. Maybe it's frequent for me, maybe it's infrequent for you, but I walk in the woods and I'll see a tree, and I'll say that is a pin oak, or that is a hemlock. Now, all hemlocks look the same, but they're all different. I mean, they're really different. If you were to superimpose one hemlock on another, you would see just how different they are. Yet they all have certain characteristics that are the same. I mention Francis Galton a lot. He was this unfortunate genius. He was a genius in many ways in that he discovered a lot of things in the sciences across many fields. But he also came up with one poison idea, that of eugenics. So that throws a, you know, it's like Hitler's painting careers. Oh, gosh, but for the genocide. No, it's very different than that. But it was a bad idea. And I believe that his entire work was infected by the idea of trying to find out something that's best. And that can be a poison idea, by trying to find out who the best people are, the best characteristics for human beings and everything. You can see it leading to a horrible place. But he also came up with a very interesting concept that we take for granted now, and that is superimposing one photo or several photos and getting a composite photo. So you take like a picture of me, and you put it over a picture of Lou and over of Butchie, and then you'd get Hardy Butchie Lou, right? And you'd get some sort of composite. He's the first one who came up with that, and it was a way of he thought maybe families could do it and say, this is what we all look like together. This is our collective family face. This is our sameness here. Our differences have been obscured under layers, and now all you see is the sameness. It's a very interesting idea, and you can think about it and as a mental experiment. I like to do mental experiments, except sometimes, just like real experiments, they'll explode. And the lab, my mind lab, will catch fire. And then it'll smell like rotten eggs for days. And you don't want your brain smelling like rotten eggs, even if it's figurative. Because there's something wrong with my thought pattern. It just has an odd odor, and there's burns on the walls. And I've been stepping on broken glass beakers and graduated cylinders. And some that have not graduated, but some cylinders that have taken the GED. And they go, this is good enough. I'm just going to go right into the workforce because I am a test tube. And I am proud. And you can put things in me, even though I have no measurements drawn on my side. Still, you can just say, well, that test tube holds blah, 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 cc's, 10 cc's. All my 10 cc records are in a giant test tube. I think that's clever of me. But I do experiments in my brain often. And what I do is I layer things on top of one another, find commonalities and find differences. Sometimes my life is very same. I will do the same things over and over again. I will get up and I'll eat the same breakfast. But it's not the same breakfast. It literally isn't the same breakfast. I don't puke it up and eat the same bowl of cereal. Oh, no. It's actually a different bowl of cereal. But there's so many characteristics that it has in common with previous bowls. And I know that art is like that too. I know that when I present something to you, you'll say, oh, that's very reminiscent of something that's come before. Right down to the fact that I steal actual people's voices. Now that has been going on in cartoons for a long time. Say, what a beautiful voice caricature that is. Yes, that is actually, you know, someone else. There's someone else's voice. So there you go. They're just stealing it. It's Hans Conrad, or it's what's his name, Eric Bloor, or somebody like that. So someone's taken the yes. Sorry, and I'm sorry I do that. But art is built up on layers of things that have come before. I didn't invent paints. I didn't invent music. Didn't invent the guitar. Some things have a sameness to them. You see that with music all the time. You go, all this music sounds the same, unless you're really into it. And then you go, no, it doesn't. It really doesn't. All those songs on that album sound the same. Well, do they, though? Maybe to you, if you look carefully, you can see differences and subtleties. That's what I'm all about. I'm all about not being bored. When things seem like they're the same things over and over again, I say look for the details. You will find that there is incredible variety in the world and in everything that happens. Even though there are commonalities, they can lull you into a trance, and you can say, I have seen this route home before. But if you look around, let's say you get out of your car and you walk down streets that you usually drive, you will see details. It is about changing the resolution on your mind's camera lens. Get closer and closer and magnify, and you will see that smooth surface is actually a rough surface. And there are little things living in it, little water bears and mites and microscopic things, slimy creatures living on your skin, walking around there. Oh, if you just look carefully, but if you blur your eyes, if your vision isn't that good, if your imagination isn't that good, then everything is just going to seem the same and you're going to be bored. Now, does this hold true with sequels when they make the same movie over and over again? Yes. This is so-and-so 2, 3, 4, 5, what are we on? Fast and Furious 29. But isn't the really the same movie? It is and it isn't. And every movie is really a sort of sequel, because there's always something that came before it. Nothing and no living creature doesn't have ancestors. And we're a lot like our ancestors. Some of us who live in Brooklyn look exactly like our ancestors from 100 and some years ago. So I wouldn't even know. You have the same mutton chops and monocle that my great-great-great-grandfather had. How about that? And you're wearing tweed in the summer. That's a bold choice. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with that because that person is different. It isn't the same monocle. It isn't the same walking stick. It's different. And, oh, you are different. So I'm not unique in any way. You are and you aren't. I hate to disappoint you. You are. You're living in a world of language, and language creates a paradox. And so you get these things of wisdom. Say, it was High Holy Days, and I'm sitting in shul, and I'm reading the Moxor or something, and I'm looking through these little words of wisdom. And one of them says, keep two pieces of paper in your pocket. One says, the world was created for your sake. And the other one says, you are but dust and ashes. Now, how can both of those things be true? They are true, because they're just words. I guess the world was created for dust and ashes. You don't worry about it. You could just have one piece of paper that says that. Then you'd be like, oh, okay, that saves time. Because what if I lose one of those pieces of paper? My perspective will be all the way. Don't worry about it. You can sum it up like that. Things don't necessarily conflict like that. A heap is a heap in name only. So don't worry about that. There are distinct grains. So now it's one more grain and that'll be a heap. Yeah, maybe it was a heap before. Depends on what you call a heap. Are you bald? How many hairs do you have to have or not have to be bald? Bald's just a word. Oh, are all bald guys with a beard the same? I will say, for practical purposes, yes, because I am constantly mistaken for other people. Also, when I shave, people do not recognize me. So I realize that my face is just a big white beard. And then nothing more. So don't you notice my compelling eyes? No, not really. Also, I wear very strange-shaped glasses, and I notice people have been staring at me with contempt lately. I don't know why. I think I look like a villain in a World War II movie or something. I'm not exactly sure. I like them. I feel it makes me look like President Truman or something. But I feel like they're a good shape for my face. But I am getting looks of contempt. But then where I live, that's pretty common. People always look at you like, you don't belong here. Do I? I don't. I thought I looked like everybody else. I guess I look different. You must be able to notice those differences. Sometimes noticing differences is lousy. I want to fit in with my fellow human beings. Say, I'm one of you. No, you're not. Can I not be? If you cut me, do my guts not spill out on the ground? Then I got to put them back in, and then I got to sew my gut up like that? Like I'm a samurai in a Shiga short story? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't either, really, you know, but I don't have to. I don't have to. Sometimes I'm saying these things just to keep you company.
just to make you feel like, hey, that fella is on the radio. That is a position of some import, you know, because he's speaking to people and he's been given a soapbox, and he's obviously, there's no soap in it because I'm smelling a certain odor. So instead of standing on the soapbox, maybe you should open it up and look, and if there's no soap, go ahead and go to your online retailer, click reorder, get some of that soap, wash up, get rid of the stink, get back on the box, say something of import. I don't know if I should say something important. Well, why wouldn't you? Oh, I can think of all sorts of reasons to be frivolous, to encourage you, maybe. And why would I encourage you to be frivolous? Because you already get the sense that life is very important, and it's not at the same time, that everything is two things at once, that everything is the same and different at the same time, that all these profound statements are not profound at all, are they? They're just language. And the most profound thing is silence, but they don't allow me to do that. Well, they do. I mean, some people have done that. So I'm just going to have dead air. Oh, yeah, I guess that'd be good. Why don't you just talk about having dead air? That'd be better. Talk about why having dead air would be provocative and interesting. I mean, literally doing it is confusing because people don't know why you're doing it, whether there's something just wrong with the radio station or whether you're doing it to be artistically provocative, you're making a philosophical statement, or you think you are, you're just maybe just lazy and don't have anything to say. I think space is just as important as filling space, unless you're supposed to be giving a speech at someone's wedding or something, and you just stand up there silently. I don't know. And provoking, gosh, I feel like people are provoked enough, really. I wonder, how do I unprovoke them? You're lulling them. Am I lulling? Well, maybe I'll lull. I'll lull a little bit to unprovoke. Because I'm here to tell you, you're probably all right. Because if you're not sort of torturing yourself, maybe you're a psychopath. I don't know exactly. But I know a lot of people that are hard on themselves are because they're sensitive, thoughtful people. But sometimes they go too far. And they start to destroy themselves because they think something extra is required of them. They're not doing enough. They're not accomplishing enough. They're not a good enough friend or anything. And I'm telling you that life is very difficult just to get through. And that being a success means sometimes just surviving. And just maybe just not surviving without being cruel or without destroying others. You know, just living. And in a harmonious way is difficult. Oh, so difficult. Because we don't have control over our bodies necessarily. We become ill. Pain can change our outlook. When you're hurting, it's really hard to be cheery. And others expect you to have some sort of attitude all the time. And they don't always understand because they see differences and they forget about the sameness. They forget how they feel when they don't feel well. And I'm just reminding you that we are all sorts of things, us human beings, that we are all sorts of things at once, and that you are many, many things. You contain multitudes. I'm not the first to say it. Walt Whitman said it. I don't even think he's the first to say it. But he read it somewhere, and then he, he's just I wouldn't recognize him if he cut the beard off. Oh, my friends, thank you for being with me as always. It's always a delight to have friends join me on the radio. I hope that you've been entertained a little bit today, and I hope that you are able to live your life in peace and others. I wish that for everyone all over the world. There is so much suffering and misery, a lot of it we contribute to and put on others. And I'm telling you, may I not contribute to the suffering in the world. And not only that, may I help to alleviate it in some way. I am sending out my love to all of you. And I thank you for being compassionate and merciful to me. And you are listening to Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide.
Thank you so much, all my friends, for joining me today. We are all the same, but we're different in many ways. All right, goodbye. See you next week.